Hello and welcome to Pod Toy. This is Kyle McGregor, and I'm joined by Stephen Hot Pocket Hansen.
Hi, friends. I cook food and review bat games.
Stephen, do you review bad games or bat games? Or
both, sometimes at the same time. So, we're back from E3. All three of us were there together for the first time in the same room sometimes. Not in the same bed, but close.
We shared a couch with a single blanket.
That's true. And Jordan, the four of us were on a nice couch under a blanket shooting a video. I also napped on that couch kind of, not next to Brett, but like it was a long enough couch that we were like foot to foot and our heads were on opposite ends. He napped for like 2 hours and I napped for like 30 minutes because I was real tired.
Was that during EA's press conference?
No, that was like the last day, I think, when...
Okay. Yeah, that was a separate nap that I took on that couch. I did a lot of napping on that couch, the first of which was during EA's press conference, because holy shit, was that a bad press conference.
Wow, I know. It was like EA was like, hey, unlike the last 2 years straight, we kind of have some games to show off, or at least some trailers. Let's stretch it out to a overly long, really boring, bad press conference and talk to Pele for 10 minutes about the beautiful game.
It's more like Pele just mumbled for a long time and no one had any idea what he was talking about.
Like, he's old. Don't put, like, remember when Clint Eastwood was like talking to a chair at like a political thing? Like, don't put old people to speak. It's a bad idea.
Motherfucker didn't forget how to cash a paycheck, though.
There was also a guy named the Hoop God who came and took a selfie with an app. And,
I forget about that because even when that was going on, it felt so long ago from when the thing actually started that I'd completely forgotten about the Hoop God till like I was reminded of an hour after the press conference.
I'm trying to think of what else happened in that press conference, but it was just so poorly paced. That by the time the end came by,
we'll finally show you Mass Effect, but mostly just show you space vistas, not really anything concrete.
Well, that was
finally show, yeah, and we'll finally show Mirror's Edge, and we'll finally show Battlefront gameplay, and like that was it. That was what they had, and it was fine. That's a decent enough, you know, nothing new, I guess. Besides that cute little yarn game Unravel that Brett loves so much.
It's a really cute little game that I love a lot.
Yeah, and I mean, Yarn Yoshi just came out. It's the year of yarn. It's the year of dog protagonists, or dog sidekicks. I'm kind of missing the year of the selfie. I really, really wanted at various times playing Batman to just, like, take a grim-looking selfie, because I thought that would be funny. That'd be a nice gadget to have. But yeah, I don't know, E3, man, I went into it, and maybe because I knew some things beforehand, so some things were less exciting, but I don't know, I went into it anticipating this would be the better year in recent years, but it was just very standard to me.
Everyone's really excited about this year. Like, they're saying that this was the best year in a long time.
Maybe it's because I wasn't surprised by certain things, but
those of us that didn't have like all the inside info that you did, we started hearing about things like the day of, so we had an idea that, you know, Square Enix was going to announce a new Final Fantasy. We had an idea that, I knew about the new Nier game ahead of time because I knew I was interviewing Yosuke Saito. So it was a little bit less exciting for us, but if you look out on the internet and out on Twitter, it was just like an uproar. It was.
I guess though, it's because some of like the big things are so distant. I mean, like we saw a Final Fantasy VII cool looking tech demo like 6 years ago. Like, so just showing us a little trailer is one thing, but they're clearly like it's probably like 2017 for that shit.
They've been teasing that for so long. They showed off that tech demo thing twice. And then last year at PlayStation Experience, they got a guy up on stage, and everyone was super stoked, and they showed the Final Fantasy VII logo. It's like, well, it's that PC port that we're going to bring it to PlayStation.
And then, like, The Last Guardian was exciting to, you know, be reminded that it's alive again, but it's nothing different from what we saw. And really, I don't, like, need to see that game ahead of time. I just would like to play it when it's out.
I think that was a really interesting thing because it's The Last Guardian that it's still alive and happening and that we saw some gameplay actually is exciting. But I feel like that kind of sucked some of the air out of the room. Like, it's exciting that it's happening, But I don't want to see someone play that for 10 minutes, you know, and just watch buildings fall apart. And it was more exciting that it's happening and less exciting what we saw of it.
I mean, the most exciting thing about the Last Guardian demo was the little boy's running down the stairs animation, where he did this awesome little high step.
Yeah, there was another one I saw, like a behind closed doors, slightly extended demo from that. There was like one other really like cute characteristic animation that I loved a lot. And like that's the kind of game that is going to be about little things like that. And like even back, like I when I went and played Eco with the HD collection a few years ago, like even that has some really amazing animation work, especially for the time, and even now, really distinctive and cool.
So when you saw that behind closed doors, it was Fumito Ueda playing it?
Yeah, he was actually like controlling it and everything. That it was like 5 to 10 minutes beforehand, and then basically what was shown off at E3. Plus, he missed the second slow motion jump to catch the tail and died, and had to redo that part.
He's a new studio though too. It's called Gen Design. Did he talk about that at all?
Nope. Basically, oh yeah, for Last Guardian it was weird. They had only scheduled interviews for European press and one or maybe a few bulk interviews. So that was kind of weird. So like we didn't even get to like chat up a little bit. I assume they just didn't want to have him spend 3 days fielding a million so what the fuck happened questions. And I mean, going to the excitement thing, I basically had no wind in my sails up until the Sony conference because, sure. I mean, until, like, Fallout 4, again, like, I didn't even, like, know, like, insider know Fallout 4 was coming, but, like, that was, like, duh, that was happening, of course.
Well, they announced that prior to it, and during Bethesda's conference, they showed off, like, half an hour of Doom footage. Which, unless you're super stoked about Doom, like the new Doom looks good and everything. Like, it actually looks like a Doom game and not just some random first-person shooter with just, like, Doom plastered on the logo. But what did they announce? They announced Dishonored 2, which they had leaked ahead of time on accident. Well,
that actually, so because me, I showed up with Destructoid Zach Furness, who lives in L.A. He drove us to Hollywood, which Bethesda is fucking in love with, where they had their press conference. And it was me, him, and former Destructoid EIC Dale North. So we showed up to the Dolby Theater in, like, fucking Hollywood, which, like, as much as I get down to L.A. in the last 4 years working on video game shit, like, I haven't been to Hollywood in, like, 20-plus years, whatever. So that was weird. But, like, there was a huge line, and we're like, maybe, like, we need to go talk to someone to figure out, like, how to get ahead of this line or whatever. And we turned a corner, and it was just, like, it went all the way down the block and then looped in on itself, like, 4 times. We looked at each other, and we were just like, well, fuck that. And we went and got hamburgers and watched the Warriors game.
You could have got those cool Fallout amiibos.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I could have sold them on eBay for like $300, which would have been cool, but I don't think it'd be worth waiting like 2 hours in line to watch a fucking press conference.
So aside from
I could just watch online. But because of that, I missed Dishonored 2. And I literally did not see the Dishonored 2 trailer until a couple days ago when I was talking to someone about E3. And that is actually pretty cool. I'm actually excited for that.
It does look neat, but it kind of got muted by the fact that we knew it was coming.
Sure, yeah.
I think the biggest announcement to come out of that was their smallest one, in that they announced a new mobile game called Fallout Shelter, which has since like blown up, and it's like the biggest thing on the App Store right now.
Yeah, they're making money. I mean, they're making Candy Crush money.
They're making better than Candy Crush money.
Yeah, they knocked it off that very first, like the next day it was available, knocked it off the most profitable, you know, how much money it's making every day. So it made at least several million dollars its first day, and I'm sure it's made more since then.
There's also an off-brand Elder Scrolls flavored Hearthstone coming, so seems like they're
taking... I didn't even see that. I'm glad I didn't, because I don't care even a little bit.
Yeah, I watched the press conference, and I don't remember that.
Maybe I just remember it because I wrote about it.
I'll do it. Oh, that was like the Xbox conference. I think I wrote about Forza 6, which had already leaked and no one cares about anyways, and Xbox Early Access, you know, Xbox Preview, whatever the fuck they're calling it.
But, I wrote about some Ubisoft racer, not Project Cars. That's not it. I don't care.
The Division, or the what's the racing game? The Club? The Crew.
The Clutch?
The Crew.
No, are you thinking about the Badlands game or whatever it's called, where there's no critical path, it's all side quests?
It's called the Crew Wild Run.
Yeah, that's not a racer, I don't think. That's like...
Wait, it's called the Crew?
Yeah,
it's called Badlands. What? Wait,
what's
what?
It called?
No. They announced like some like cartel game where it's like, oh man, crazy drug stuff happening between here and Mexico. Go do racing. But I don't think it's a crew game.
I don't think it's a racing game. I think it's like a shoot other cars type of game or something.
Who fucking knows? Every fucking Ubisoft game is the exact same game. It's ridiculous. I can't stand it even a little bit. I played The Division, which was like the first time we'd even had hands-on on that game, which is like, what, announced 3 years ago? 2 years ago, maybe? And it's boring. Like, it has a few interesting ideas, but it feels like a third-person Destiny with, like, Ubisoft flavoring. It just, I have little interest in that.
You know, going back to what you said about, like, what you wrote about for the Microsoft thing, it's kind of funny how when you're covering press conferences, you don't remember a whole lot apart from what you actually wrote about.
Yeah.
Because, like, the way that we do it is when news comes up, we have a queue, a rotation of people that are set to write the next news, and then you're wrapped up for the next 10 minutes getting that news up, and you just kind of miss everything in between. But I think this might have been my favorite E3 simply because of the Airbnb factor.
Yes, I am amazing, as we've discussed, and got us a very beautiful, beautiful, close, handsome, swank location with a pool, and we had good fun. We had good fun there.
And then we had another one, too.
Yeah, another one, too, that's best left unsaid. I don't know. Like, by the time Sony rolled around and was like, boom, here's an hour straight of like really good shit and no one talking, that was pretty fun. And then it was like, all right, we're going to talk about PlayStation View and Call of Duty, which, I mean, that's a huge thing on like a, you know, business level or whatever, that like PlayStation is now the official console of Call of Duty. But that was all fucking garbage. Who cares? But like the first hour was super cool. And I think Guerrilla Games, the Killzone guys, coming out with a third person action RPG that's like fucking Zoids with cavemen.
That looked awesome.
It's actually pretty sweet.
What was that called?
It's a fucking horrible name. Horizon Zero Dawn. It's such a fucking bad name. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah. You know, Steven, that Call of Duty thing's a bigger deal than you think about, because it could change the whole landscape of esports. Currently, everybody plays Call of Duty on Xbox. And one of the big reasons is because of that first DLC.
Oh my god, Brett. I explicitly said it's like a huge deal. I just don't give a single shit.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you say that. I tune out when you talk most of the time. You know that.
It's fine. It's good.
So, no love for Microsoft, Steven, with that backwards compatibility and their...
It was smart, man. Like, they got their punch in, you know? They're like, unlike other people.
I felt like it was like 2 years too late. Like they wanted to get like a shot in Sony's ribs.
It's like
remember 2 years ago
when you're like in the shower at the end of the day and you're like, oh man, I should have said no, fuck you.
I know that feeling. I think everybody knows that feeling.
They had some good stuff though. Rare came and announced a MMO for pirates.
That was another one where it's like we know nothing about it. Halo 5 pissed me off because it looked like a Call of Duty clone. Because they showed off the single player mostly, and it looked like, you know, all this. And that was the trend for everything at Microsoft and it really bothered me, which is it's just stuff happening around you as the character while you're basically doing nothing but pushing forward on the analog stick. Tomb Raider did the same thing. The behind closed doors thing I saw of it showed off more like actual stuff. There's climbing in trees for like stealth, and you can do some like swimming, which is mostly for like rudimentary water puzzling type shit, but apparently you can also use it for like hiding in the water and whatever. But yeah, so much of it was just like, all right, hold forward and Lara's gonna trudge through the snow, or like Halo is like, all right, hold forward and like everything's gonna blow up around you but you're safe, and Gears was like, hold forward and like lightning's happening and shit, but you're okay.
So one thing I was really stoked about from theirs wasn't even gameplay. It was Keiji Inafune, the creator of Mega Man's new project, ReCore.
Yep.
And it features a female protagonist, and she's out in the desert making friends with robots and finding other robots.
She's got a fucking robot dog.
Yeah.
Can we just talk about how this dude is in love with robots? Like, dude's got a robot. I mean, look, he's like, all right, no more Mega Man. I'm going to make two more Mega Mans that are not Mega Man. All right. I'll make a new game. There's fucking robots. You got a robot dog. You can put that robot dog brain into other robots and get other robots. Like, all right, dude. I like it. He likes robots. And that thing looked exciting, too. But that was, again, like a... Well, that one's not even far away because it's fucking spring 2016. They just didn't have anything to show. True. So that was like, all right, it's a cinematic. It looks cool, but, like, you know, wake me up when I know what the fuck I'm playing or, like, what this is.
And Microsoft shelled out to announce Dark Souls 3. Which we knew was coming.
That must have been like, oh man, Call of Duty, what do we do? All right, let's attract them with Dark Souls. Which, to be fair, Dark Souls is like a really, it's become a pretty popular thing now. I mean, like Bloodborne even sold way more than Sony expected.
So there was Ubisoft.
Oh, no, there wasn't. Nintendo?
Nintendo gets
like an instant A+ for me with the fucking Muppets. Because that shit was amazing. I love Muppets so much.
Miyamoto, like, transforming into Star Fox.
Oh, Muppets are so fucking good. I don't know. People were really bummed. Well, people were super bummed at, like, Metroid not being, Whoa!
It's a wild Darren appears.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Darren.
Darren.
We're talking about E3.
We're talking about Nintendo at E3 and how they're really bad.
Wait, Nintendo's bad? Nintendo's not bad.
But... people were really upset about their E3 thing. I don't really care. Star Fox didn't look too good, but Platinum's making it along with like 8 other games, so it could be good. But it's not God Hand 2, so get fucked.
Star Fox was fine. I mean, speaking from like a preview sense, I feel like the mechanics are there. It didn't look all that great, but at the same time, like, maybe they'll polish that up, or... maybe they won't. I don't really care one way or the other because I thought that the flying was cool and the gamepad integration was also neat. I heard some other people kind of shit all over it, but I liked it, so.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people were less charitable and really thought that it didn't work using the sort of two screens and shit. I don't know. I didn't play it, so there's that. But, like, Nintendo also, like, aside from having fucking Muppets, which I'm all on board with, and having Fire Emblem localization, so, like, I don't really give a shit about anything else.
I played some Mario Maker. I actually played most of their stuff. We have that little private demo tour. It's pretty neat.
Did you see Chad?
I did see Chad. It was really nice.
That's, like, the highlight of the Nintendo
He, like, demo. Flanked me and blindsided me with a hug.
Yeah.
It was great. Yeah,
Jordan and I also made time to go see Chad, and hugs happened. Because that's the Chad experience, really.
He's like this, like, shining star, this beacon of hope in this, like, dark world of E3. It was, like, the end of the week, and everyone was, like, run down, and Chad was just, like, still, like, energetic as always. It was like a can of Mountain Dew just, like, punching you in the chin.
Yeah, that dude's always happy about something. It's pretty cool.
Uplifted my spirits, and then I got to play Mario Maker, which I wasn't too stoked about beforehand, and now I'm... feeling like that's gonna be my jam.
Yeah, those videos, man, that they showed at like the Nintendo World Championships and then at the E3 presentation, just like nuts.
So I didn't see any of that, but I played this level that was basically designed to mimic The Legend of Zelda. And so I went on this like adventure as Link. So like you know did you see like you can become different characters and stuff with like amiibo and stuff.
Yeah.
So like if you create a stage and you have an amiibo, you can be like, okay, I'm gonna make you turn into Marth this stage when you go big, or you're gonna be the Wii Fit trainer. And that time it was like Zelda, and you turned into Link, and I kind of got to run through the stage that was all kind of castle-y as Link. It was pretty neat.
What real quick, what was your guys' favorite press conference? Everybody go.
I mean, Sony was the only good one.
I didn't see Sony's, but it had the best announcements.
Kyle, like, and I were forced to leave Sony to go to a Ubisoft hands-on thing.
It sounds like the worst thing ever.
Hey, you want to see a hot hour of cool new games, or do you want to go fucking play Assassin's Creed?
I actually got to play that For Honor.
Yeah, that weird new Ubisoft samurai Viking knight game or something? Yeah,
that was pretty neat. I tried to keep getting Brett to play it, but he was like, nah.
I'm not gonna play more games than I need to.
But yeah, it was like a really interesting mashup of kind of Dynasty Warriors and like a first-person shooter, like third-person shooter, and like a kind of like King of the Hill elements. And it was kind of like a fighting game too, and how intricate some of like the sword play goes. So I think it'll be really interesting when that's out in the wild and people are playing it, because it's just so off the wall, and you can do so many different things. Like if you're not good at the sword fighting aspect, you can kind of help your troops on the front line, or kind of like go up the flanks and try to like throw your enemies off guard by like capturing objectives and stuff.
When you said had King of the Hill aspects, I was
same.
Thinking
same
propane and propane accessories.
I mean, the last 30 seconds that Kyle was talking, I was thinking about what a King of the Hill MMO could be.
Yeah, just
any sort of King of the Hill game, really.
I was imagining Hank Hill wearing a samurai helmet.
I just want to hear Hank say, "Damn it, Bobby," like over and over in a video game.
I'm just now remembering that horrible fucking barbecue that Brett made us eat at E3.
When was this?
Hold on.
So Brett, poor, delicate Brett was so hungry in the middle of the day, but he had work to do, so he didn't want to leave to get actual food, so he first tried to drag Dale to Dale and me to the food trucks outside in the middle of the fucking thing, and those lines are crazy long. And then Brett was like, "Oh, there's some barbecue in like the very back of the convention hall, like behind Nintendo's fucking stock room." So we went there, a bunch of us. Jordan was there, former Destructoid contributor Jason Napolitano was there. And there was barbecue, and it was like $12 for a barbecue sandwich, and the bun was so soggy that it disintegrated, and the meat just tasted like blandness covered in barbecue sauce, and it was just a whole sad $12 meal.
Yeah, it wasn't good. No, it was real bad and real sad, but what happened is that Jordan wanted to go grab lunch, but he only had a half hour before his appointment. So we were tethered to the convention center, and the lines for the taco trucks or the food trucks outside were like 8 bajillion people long. So I was like, "Yo, I know where this barbecue joint is." And everyone was like, "Take us to it, Brett. You're our savior." And I was like, "Whoa, don't get too excited about this place." Yeah, then I get raked over the coals by Steven for finding him food.
So you're like Hickory Moses.
$12 food.
But you know what was good food?
We during went to that EA... that Chinese place on the last day. It was okay.
Better food was during the EA press conference when Steven made us eggs in the Airbnb.
Yeah, that was the other reason I missed everything except for you guys yelling about Pele, is because like we all went back to the hotel Airbnb to cover the conference, and I just sat there and I cooked like 20 eggs. 2 eggs apiece for everybody the whole time, including like Dale and some other people.
Now that we've done that, I am confident saying that Airbnb streaming, everyone working from there, is the superior way to cover press conferences.
Just because of the eggs?
No, because like the place was hella air conditioned. We were just like sprawled out on couches. I fell asleep at one point. Like if I'm in the press room, there's fucking people who aren't there doing any work, just like shouting.
No, I mean, aside from getting free dolls, there's no reason to actually go to press conferences these days with everything streaming.
Steven, there is no reason to go to press conferences. Why would you ever send anyone to a press conference?
I don't know that I did that.
Well, one of your guys, or actually four of us, went to a PC gaming press conference. Yeah.
So the PC gaming show was a new show this year on Tuesday after the show floor opened, which Tuesday is also when Nintendo and Square Enix had their morning conferences before the show floor opened. Square Enix also really bad in conference, by the way. But Tuesday, the PC gaming show, someone convinced me that like it would be good. There'd be new stuff there. There would be interviews and hands-on after the fact. So I was like, all right. Because I did all of our scheduling for E3. And I was like, all right, I'll send a couple people. That conference ended up lasting what, like 3 hours?
Yeah, so it was like me, 2.5 hours.
Yeah, so me, Jordan, and Kenny were at some Sony thing eating stir fried beef and whiskey sours and watching the Warriors win the NBA championship.
Fuck off.
And Brett was over there at that.
Oh, see, I didn't even realize we had anybody there because it was me and Chris tag teaming the announcements coming out of it. You know, announcements in scare quotes, of course.
I think I came in like halfway and you're like, we got this covered. Don't even bother.
No, Chris said that. I would have loved to have had someone else taking some of the things.
Darren,
I guess I'll just transcribe this interview and you guys are just like shooting yourself in the face. You're like, when's it going to end? When's it going to end?
There were a couple of cool things.
If you followed me on Twitter, which you do, you would know that I was there and I was irate. I was so upset with that press conference.
Apparently, Brett was tweeting things or like about to tweet, and he was just like so upset with his tweet, he just erased it.
I can't do two things at once, so I can't look at Twitter and listen to a press conference.
So that press conference was a failure on so many fronts. One, it wasn't a press conference. There were no announcements. They weren't briefing us on anything. It was a show for PC gamers, but it wasn't a show designed to bring new people into the PC gaming crowd because it was so unapproachable. They just got up on stage and talked about fucking GPUs for like 10 minutes at a time and just used like crazy language people didn't understand. So what it amounted to was a fucking circle jerk that no one wanted to be a part of. Fuck that show.
It was sponsored by AMD, right? And so they had those two segments where they were just like, they brought out some AMD exec to come out and talk about how cool their stuff is. And then they showed off the new thing that they were bringing out. So, I mean, it was kind of a big ad with some trailers in between.
It was really not good. PR kind of pitched it to us like, yo, you're going to need to be there. Some shit's going to go down. And afterwards, there's going to be some access and you're going to want this. And it was trickery. It was devious.
Were there games after the fact that you could play?
There were, but nothing was new. And our entire team was Jed, Laura, Zach, and myself that went. Everyone was just so pissed off that we just went and got food. I took an Uber straight to some Japanese curry, met Jordan and Steven and Kenny there, and...
Oh, that was nice. We had some good curry down in Little Tokyo. Went to Far Bar in an alleyway, had some drinks, watched John Travolta in Savages get his hand stabbed on mute. And John Travolta in Savages is very fun to watch act with no sound. And then we went to some other stupid bullshit.
I was very upset for like 3 hours and then Curry brought me back down and level headed again. I was like a Snickers commercial. It was like, you don't like me when I'm hungry and also when I'm upset about having my time wasted.
So who's your diva?
Bobby Knight.
Okay.
Because I've just about stood up in the middle of that goddamn show, picked up my shitty little chair that was like a school desk chair and just threw it on stage and walked out.
Yeah, man, it is really, really crazy that E3 was... It wasn't last week, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck me.
Yeah, it was.
It was last week.
So the thing is, like, it seemed like it lasted an eternity, but it felt like it also went by really fast. Like, we were like, oh, remember the Bethesda conference? And like, yeah, that was 2 days ago. And we're like, whoa, that seems like it was 8 weeks ago.
Well, so I got back from horrible Los Angeles on fucking Friday, and then I was waiting on Batman from Warner Brothers, who were just like straight up ducking us. We know now why, because the fucking PC version of the game is so broken they actually pulled it from Steam. I assume only because Steam refunds were just a thing and people all took their money back anyways. Doubt they would have pulled it otherwise.
Actually, they pulled it from Green Man Gaming, too. I got an email this morning that Warner Brothers requested it be pulled from Green Man Gaming.
Well, if they pull it from one, they got to pull it from the rest.
GMG didn't offer refunds. They said, hey, if this doesn't work after this first major patch, then we'll offer refunds, but nothing until then. So, I mean, Warner Brothers knew what was up. There's no doubt about that.
But, yeah, no, I mean, yeah, they... I mean, well, that's the thing, is they... No game that comes out and has huge problems, like, nothing that comes out like that with huge problems is the thing that is not known about. It's more like, how much can we get away with, or what are we going to, you know, like, even, like, they fucking know, because it's obvious, because you start playing it day one and everyone knew, so obviously the people who fucking made the thing knew. It was just like, hey, can we get away with releasing it so we can get it out at the same time and try to make more money? And, you know, it didn't fucking work, obviously, but, yeah, that has been literally my last 3 days is... I just bought it on PS4 because I was like, well, if I'm not getting a code, I might as well get it on a system where it's not going to be broken. So I just bought it on PS4, and I've been playing that for like 3 days. I've gotten, I finished it, obviously, but I also got really high in the completion percentage to like 90%, but the rest of it is, or like high 80s or something, but the rest of it is fucking bullshit. But yeah, I literally finished and posted that review for Arkham Knight right before we started podcasting. And it's an interesting problem, this game, because, you know, at the very base level, I like it a lot, but it's also less interesting than the last two games, and definitely less fresh and less inventive. The Batmobile is the big difference, and while it's, like, technically impressive and just, like, really fucking amazing how smooth the transitions are, to, like, calling it in, Batman jumping in, you keep driving without any, like, stopping, ejecting yourself out from it. It turns into a fucking actual tank, like, with the push of a button instantly. So it's really easy to control it even, like, more directly than, like, doing it in car mode. Like, it's fucking amazing. But that means it took a shit ton of work, which means they had to make sure to, you know, use the hell out of it, which means a lot of forced Batmobile segments that were just, like, not super great. You know, it's literally like, hey, kill these 40 tanks with your tank, have fun. And like, that happens several times, more than several times over the course of the game, and it's kind of a bummer. The Arkham Knight himself too, your encounters with the Arkham Knight are basically your tank versus his even bigger tank, and they're not so great either. I don't know, that's the thing. It's it has a lot of the same problems from Arkham City, in that, you know, it's like, now it's an open world game, so how do you pace it? How do you, you know, excuse the fact that you have all these, like, AR challenges and bullshit happening all around you, all this filler stuff? Like, why is that even there? Aside from, like, having content and just making it last more hours. I liked it that in Arkham Asylum, the combat challenges and the predator challenges, like, weren't even in the game. It was, like, you would get to them, right, from, like, a menu. I think so, anyways. It's been a while, but I 100%ed that game. So yeah, including them all kind of scattered around the place just doesn't feel like a good idea in terms of the pacing and everything. But also, like, the story in this game is not so good. I won't spoil it. There's, like, one not surprising plot twist or whatever that is actually, like, done really well, and it leads to some of the strongest narrative elements in the game. And then there's another one that is completely fucking telegraphed. It's telegraphed in the game. It's also basically what everyone expected who before you even play the game. So that one's also super obvious, and but also not really done particularly well or interesting. So that's kind of a bummer. Scarecrow's pretty sweet, though, so that's kind of nice. But yeah, like, it's, you know, it's pretty good, but it's sort of not super better than the last game, and kind of lacks the same, you know, there's not really an equivalent to, like, the Mr. Freeze boss fight. It's not as fresh, the third or fourth, depending how you count time around. So that's it. It's good, though.
So I'm kind of in the opposite position of you. I just started it last night. I just bought it on Xbox One because, I don't know, we're almost in July, and I'm looking to kill time until Gamescom rolls around. And I'm at, I think, 20% story completion, and I think 12% overall. So not very far at all. But last night I played for maybe close to 5 hours without really realizing it. And anytime you can do that, that's probably a good thing, right? But I can already tell, like, all of the problems that you have with it. It's really dissonant how
they make everything super urgent in the game, but then you can take time out and do your AR missions. Like, that was one of the first things that I realized. And how you're basically going around killing everybody in the Batmobile, but not really killing everybody because your car, does it electrocute them away?
Yeah, it's so fucking bizarre. Like, you hit somebody at, you know, 200 miles an hour, but it just shocks them away from your car. Or you T-bone someone at 200 miles an hour and flip their fucking car over 8 times and it explodes, and then they just get out and run away.
And Rocksteady makes a super big point of saying constantly, like, yo, 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 he's not, we're not killing everybody, they're staying alive, they're just very unconscious.
Well, there's that, and also the game uses the word fucking drone so many times to just emphasize, like, oh no, this, you know, these like 40 vehicles you blew up, they're unmanned, they're drones. It's like very hard over the head with that. That might have been like a WB thing, or like a, you know, a rights holder thing, is like, oh, you got to make sure they know he's not killing people. But yeah, you're really making your work harder by including not only the Batmobile, but like an actual fucking tank and having all these tank segments. It's just, it's really bizarre. And then just throwing in characters just so they can be there, but just having really basic side missions with like no story whatsoever is pretty uninteresting.
So I actually wasn't in love with the Batmobile from the beginning. I hadn't ever played hands-on with Arkham Knight before, like at preview events or anything. It was always hands-off. But at GDC 2 years ago, they showed those Riddler time trials, and I thought that that was a much less interesting idea than all the other Riddler stuff that they had done in the past. It seemed like they really tried to shoehorn in the Batmobile.
Yeah, those Riddler races are actually fun, but they're so out of left field. Like, the Riddler just happens to decide this time around that he's making racetracks conveniently in the game that they're trying to focus on the Batmobile. And like, it seems like everything, you could basically see everywhere Rocksteady just trying to do a narrative thing or a character thing to excuse something that's happening. Just the fact that they, in like several hours, evacuate an entire city of 6.3 million, and like everyone opted to leave, no one stayed, and it was all organized and all happened so quickly. Just so, you know, you can have an open world without civilians. You know, the Riddler actually, well, I don't know if that would be a spoiler, but he like fucking creates robots for you to fight in between doing puzzles, so there can be more fighting. And he's like, oh, well, this is also me being smarter than you because I invented them. So if you can't beat them, that still means I'm smarter than you. Like, after criticizing Batman for being like brutish and whatever, it's, yeah, like there's just a lot of that. And there's supervillains are just thrown in. Like, Penguin has 6 different stashes of weapons around the city. Go find a car with his goons, scare them, follow them for like 5 minutes until they lead you to it, and then go fight some goons and then blow it up, and then at the end you get to catch the Penguin. And it ties into the fact that like the Gotham PD is a big part of it, and there's a pretty cool, there's actually, I really like this board a lot, but there's like a board that tallies how many inmates it's holding, and like, so there's inmates from all these different like groups that are around the city. There's these like actual military, former military militia guys, there's like two-faced thugs, whatever, and then there's like a supervillain tally, and there's 11 of them total to track down through the side missions. And some of the side missions are not like repeat things. Like, Penguin is like, keep following these trucks like 5 times, and then there's like one that's save 20 different firemen, and they're all held hostage scattered around the city, and those are just like not fun to look for.
It's beat up 8 guys and then hit A on the firemen.
Yeah, and then listen to them fucking talk about nothing. So there's a bunch of those, but some of the side missions, they do just pop up in accordance with the story, and like those ones are all pretty cool and usually have something going on with them, and those are kind of nice little like nicely woven in parts. But yeah, for the most part, it's just like a bunch of shit to do around you. Again, like everything is put together as well as it could be, given how disparate it all would feel. Like, the Batmobile stuff is so ridiculously smooth, and like it fits together as well as it can, you know, before it becomes very tonally jarring and just kind of not fun to use at times. So I don't know.
To be fair, one of the first things that they had you do in the Batmobile, and this is where I just lost my shit, I was so over the Batmobile already, is they teach you how to use a winch so that you can pull down walls and make ramps and all that stuff. And they basically put you in the Batmobile and do what amounts to rooftop platforming. You're playing Assassin's Creed or some shit. It's
really bizarre. And it's because the tank mode, because you can switch into it so quickly and it gives you like a, you know, it's not like you're having to navigate a car. It's basically moves like a regular person would. But yeah, it's really bizarre that, because they do this later where there's actually a stealth tank section where instead of like hiding behind walls and whatever as Batman doing stealth, you're hiding behind buildings and trying to stealth around other tanks. And it's really not fun because it's super easy to die in that section. But yeah, it's really bizarre that they try to, like, just scale up, you know, like, we have platforming with the Batmobile. We have stealth with the Batmobile. We have combat with the Batmobile. It's really weird and not so great. I mean, but yeah, no, the main thing was that, like, there were no, or at least less, really interesting moments happening. Like, there's hints at them, and there's some of them that, you know, they've done before that are still done well, but they're not new anymore. Like, you do kind of, you know, weird, like, nightmare stuff. Not quite like the Scarecrow stuff in the first Arkham, which is fine, because that kind of was also, it was very cool, but also could be a little tedious. But, like, this is more just, like, mood-setting stuff. And there's actually some of the best jump scares that, like, I've ever seen. Like, they're very, very well done. And then, like, occasionally it gets kind of weird with, like, Dutch angles and shit. And I love that. And, like, every time it kind of breaks from the mold, I like. And even the combat, I still really like. The Batman combat, not the fucking car combat. But, yeah, there was just a little bit too little of the interesting stuff. And the story was, like, I mean, I'm not even a plot hole guy, but there's obviously some issues there. And also just it's kind of weak overall, except for the two or three main performances. The kind of dialogue and voice acting is a little hammy.
I'm actually really not enjoying the plot stuff all that much, which doesn't surprise me. I don't really gravitate towards superhero stuff. It's just not really my cup of tea. But what I am enjoying is the open world side mission stuff, because it's like that Assassin's Creed syndrome that I have, where I just like going around checking off ticking off the check marks and just getting everything and watching that completion percentage rise up. It's some weird sense of accomplishment.
It's not weird. I feel like this is a very studied thing, and that's why it's done so much. But another point of contention for me is, like, and that's been the case for a couple of years now with the series, for the entirety of the series, which is like, detective mode in itself is a very broken thing, and it really, you're not doing any detecting because you're just following the fucking colors. And the same thing, like, I like exploring the city, and sometimes you stumble onto the side missions organically, like, oh, this building's on fire, I wonder what that's about. And then other times, you know, it throws you a waypoint and it tells you how far you are and where to go, and you just are going from thing to thing like an errand boy, and like, that's less fun to me. But just organically exploring the city and also just traversing through the city, like, the other weird thing about including a Batmobile is you've made some of the best movement systems around, between the gliding, the diving, the grapple hook, and the fact that it'll like propel you crazy fast and like make you fly further. Like, all of that stuff is super fun to use, so I don't even like want to drive the car. I mean, so I don't get it.
It's really funny how the game kind of beats you over the head by saying the Batmobile is the quickest way to get around Gotham. It's the quickest way to get around Gotham. Hands down, grappling and just shooting yourself a bajillion feet in any direction is the quickest way to get around Gotham.
Yep.
I don't know. You gave this a 7, right?
Yeah. Good score. Good game.
I think that after my 4 hours of play, I don't see it really. 7 seems pretty spot on.
Honestly, I might have even leaned towards a 6.5, but the end is pretty good. It does some nice stuff with the end.
Oh, I meant to ask you, with regard to the side mission where you are doing the murder forensic stuff, have you completed that side one?
Yeah.
Is it good?
That one is better than a lot of them, actually.
Okay.
The actual side mission leading up to it is boring. You find a body that's been disfigured, and you do forensic analysis, which means turn on detective mode, look at the body's skin layer, press X on something that is colored differently, listen to Batman talk, change to the muscle layer, press X that's colored on something, listen to Batman talk, press X on the skeletal layer, the bone layer, press X, listen to Batman talk, and you do this 5 times. Which is just fucking boring. It is cool if you are like just wandering around and you start hearing the opera music, which is what marks the bodies, and then you have to go and like track that down. That's fun. But like the fucking 5 minutes you spend there just listening to dialogue and like pressing X, one item per 3 layers per body, is really just, that's again what I'm talking about is kind of the problem. But yeah, the fight at the end of that is actually much more interesting than a lot of the side mission stuff.
I was going to say it lends itself real well to something kind of fucked up happening. Maybe meet a familiar supervillain or something like that. And
No spoilers. Not to me, anyways. But
well, maybe I won't get my hopes up too much. But
it is, yeah. Bioshocky though.
All right. Yeah, Arkham Knight.
Which is appropriate for an Unreal game. Yeah.
Steven.
Yeah.
Seems like this has turned into the You and Me podcast, but did you come up with any questions for us in the 2 weeks you had off?
Oh God, finally.
Is that like, oh God, finally I'm going to get more points, or finally they're stopped talking about Batman?
I'm just curious if Batman's ever going to escape the shadow of this shitty PC release. Did Assassin's Creed Unity?
No, not really, but I would say that Arkham is a better game than Unity, and it's only broken on one platform, whereas Unity was debatably broken on all three, maybe not quite. Honestly, the video game industry forgets, man, and we're gonna make the same mistake in 3 months with some other fucking game.
It'll make its money back, no problem, so.
Yeah.
It's got Batman on the cover.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's exactly
right. And it is good, you know. It's uneven, but it's good.
I mean, earlier when you asked why would they even release this if they knew it was in this state, because they'll take the bad PR and the money instead of good PR and no money.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why the fresh Steam refund thing kind of screwed them there. People were actually getting their money back.
I'm curious, though, if they had waited a week, 2 weeks, a month to release the PC version, if they would have made more money and had the conversation be about the game and not about its botched PC release.
It's hard. I mean, without actually looking at data, it's hard to tell. I feel like most of the time when something has a belated PC release, it only does well if it's, I mean, like, this would have been pretty beloved, so that has that going for it. But also, usually the PC releases that do well have come way down the line, like Grand Theft Auto 5 PC release or something. So I feel like at this point, when you have the new consoles already, and you have a general parity between the three, like, you kind of want to have those out at the same time. I don't know.
And at the same time, waiting a couple months puts you in, and you try remarketing your game, it puts you in the same conversation as all those holiday releases. And you just get less of the conversation than before.
I don't know. It seems like August is usually pretty barren. They might have targeted that.
Maybe.
We'll never know.
They released in late June, and it was kind of a shit show.
Hey, Darren, how's your Pokemon Shuffle going?
It's going pretty well. How's yours going? You're not playing this. I don't know.
Hey, Darren,
I like that game. It's Darren, fun.
Yeah. I mean, you're not currently playing it right at this moment, like I am.
How's the Mississippi Street Pass game going?
I get someone every month or so, maybe.
You street pass your wife.
Is it your wife?
Well, no, yeah. We street pass each other a few times a day, but I get other random people. Because I work at a university, and so when there are students around, if I walk around, then there's a decent chance I'll tag somebody.
There's no way that you could, like, you could pinpoint where a street pass person is, can you?
No, well, not really. Like, if you are diligent about it and you get a street pass, if you don't go straight into the plaza, if you go to your notifications, it'll tell you exactly what time you hit. And so if you know, like, where you were around that time, then you can kind of pinpoint it. And I've actually found people that way.
I was going to say, I picture you neglecting your work duties and pinpointing people that street pass. And
it's like triangulating.
Well, yeah. And
just begging them to be your friend. Be like, I'll buy you lunch. Just hang out with me. You're my oasis in Mississippi.
Other Brett want to do that with this girl he kept street passing?
Yeah,
street pass girl?
He wanted to form a relationship. But yeah, that's the other thing you can do with it is if you tag someone multiple times, you can start sending each other 15 character messages. And so if I do that, I'll be like hand lab basement and I have to spell it like BSMNT just so that they know where they can find me in the future if they wanted to.
They don't want to find you then.
No, it doesn't usually work. But there was a guy at my apartment complex several years ago who I eventually found that way. And it was really weird because he looked exactly like as me. Like he was this enormous Hispanic dude with a big old mustache.
Steven, that murder mystery side quest, does Darren end up being the killer?
Honestly, Darren's doing more detecting than you do in Batman. So what I wanted to do is actually not set the whole. What I wanted to do was another round of that, game journalism ethics discussion show that I had a name for when I originally thought about it and then forgot about the name and still haven't come up with a good name for it. But we did this when Brett was gone talking about, and I specifically did this question when Brett was gone because it was about Kickstarter backing and shit. And like, is it, the ethics of Kickstarter, blah, 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 blah. We had a nice little conversation about that, and then we haven't done
Darren spent like $10,000 on Kickstarters.
I have not spent that much money on Kickstarter. $1,600.
Oh, only that much?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a lot of money, Darren.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But yeah, so I guess we can avoid some stuff that we might have overlapped talked about with like the Batman release and whatever, but how about this? With E3 just having passed and a lot of previews happening at E3. What's the deal with previews?
It depends on how they're presented. So you get a knack for previews and being able to tell whether the game is bad from the build that they're showing you or if it's just bad. Would you agree with that?
I guess.
Like, if there are frame rate issues and the audio cuts out and it locks up once, that's not something that I'm going to hold against a game. But if the mechanics are just bad, then I have no problem kind of skewering a game because that's not likely going to be salvaged.
Right. I mean, it is a weird state of affairs, the entire business of previews. And internally, just because we have so many new additions recently and whatever, and to remind other people, I basically wrote up a new guide for previews writing. Because what I see, not that destructive, but generally speaking, is previews that end up kind of churned out by rote. They're very cookie cutter, basically. They have, a particular structure, and they don't try to investigate anything too deeply. And I don't know if this is because, like, people are just not trying and just kind of putting their work in, or if it's because there's like a paranoia about being, overly critical on previews and whatnot. So what do you think is sort of the general tenor around previews?
I mean, they definitely, there's always been like sort of an unspoken thing that people don't badmouth a game that's in preview because it is, not finished. And that's always been a little weird because, like Brett said, you can sometimes tell what a game's problems are and whether they're going to be fixed or not, or not whether, but whether it's possible for them to be fixed or not.
I kind of just dumped on all over that Rhodia game.
Well, I think we in general and historically have done a pretty good job because we're, more casual about it of not ending up with those kind of previews as a site. Like, because when I first started, that was like one of the main things I did because in San Francisco I was doing a lot of previews, and it was always, you know, like don't write very like standard, you know, fans of the genre will like, or we'll have to wait and see if it's good. Like, don't write that kind of shit. Just like fucking play the game and like talk about it. Like, just be a normal human being and not a robot.
That's difficult for some of us, you know.
I don't know. Previews are weird, though. It would be nice if
it's a finished product. It's in the state of flux, and you kind of gotta feel out and suss out what's gonna stick around and what's not.
Previews also change based on the level of access that you're given.
Sure. Yeah. Sometimes it's like 10 minutes, or sometimes it's 14 hours in the case of Metal Gear.
So sometimes you're at a press junket and you have hands-on time, you have a presentation, you have two different interviews with producers, and you just have like a lot of content. You can ask a lot of questions, all that sort of stuff. Sometimes it's at PAX and you wait in line to play a game for 5 minutes, and it's an indie game and the developer isn't even there because he went out to get lunch.
Mm-hmm. I've made it a point to not force out a preview. I mean, it's usually a trade show thing, but like to not force out a preview if I really don't have anything to say. And I think that's kind of a problem. Is it's an assignment for most people. So it's like you go and you do the work, and like a lot of people just kind of struggle and don't really have anything to say. So they just write something that is, you know, passable and inoffensive. But like, I've always gotten shit on previews because people get really upset if you don't do the just like, you know, toe the line. And, you know, they do that anyways. You know, you get fucking Batman a 7 and you get accused of clickbait. So, you know, those people can fuck off anyways. But, like, all sorts of I mean, that word can fuck off, by the way. We can switch the conversation to that because
save that for next time because we can probably have a lot. Yeah.
So I've basically kind of adapted, I think, three different preview styles. And I don't, like, consciously choose one to use, but I'll do the super in-depth, this explains the game, these are a bunch of quotes I got type of preview. Probably what you would consider proper work. I'll do like a stream of conscious, this is exactly what happened when I played this game and this is how I felt about it. Or I'll just kind of do in between, maybe like a little bit better writing, so to speak, but also kind of describe the game, but not... I would say that's like more like an E3 preview where I'm really pressed for time, but I still need to do a good job.
That's the other thing that interests me is because I remember, you know, like reading previews in like, you know, Game Informer and like magazines and shit fucking forever ago. And so many of those previews are situated with the writer explaining exactly what they played, like including like narrative elements, like the game started with this, you know. And that is so outmoded by video, which wasn't a problem. And I feel like there's so much holdover from that because there's people really just explaining like what they're doing, like action by action, which you can just fucking see in a video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good point.
What one thing that sort of weirds me out, and this just came up the other day, was Compulsion asked if I wanted to have a build of We Happy Few to do a preview, and like I was willing, but I was really hoping someone else would pick it up because there's something about doing two previews of the same game that it just like I can't really get a grasp on. Like I don't know what I could write differently even if I played more of it.
So that's a big issue that I went over and over with Hamza when he used to do our scheduling, is he would have me do follow-up previews of games, and I hated doing that because I felt like I was just retreading the same thing I had already talked about. Mm-hmm. That's kind of when I started adopting different styles, because I thought that was the only way to kind of rewrite about it without writing the exact same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one other thing I'll do is sometimes I'll preview a game by focusing on like kind of one weird thing that happened. I did that for last year at PAX. I played Borderlands the pre-sequel, and we had done X number of previews already, and so
you
I was like
about Claptrap. I remember
yeah, I was
that.
Like Claptrap turns into a fucking floating disco ship or whatever it was, and
yeah. I think your headline was I could have been a pirate ship, but I decided to be a disco ball or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't remember, but and I think that kind of, you know, you don't retread the same ground and you get out after six paragraphs or whatever, and everyone's happy, I think. I don't know. But yeah. Previews are sort of weird, sort of not good, but maybe sort of necessary.
maybe.
People read them.
Yeah.
Do they do well? Like, they don't go, they don't do on par with reviews, but.
No, but they do well.
Oh, sometimes they do
very well. Sometimes they don't.
Are you ready to think?
It depends on how inflammatory you are. If you call things a half-assed Battlefield mod.
Not this year, but the year before at Judges Week, I previewed H1Z1, and it was in a completely unplayable state. And I called him out. It was a real shitty build. And that did a fair good numbers, but it seemed like every outlet around me, their coverage kind of focused on what the game was trying to do and what it would eventually be, but we saw none of that. I didn't feel it necessary to report on what the game hoped to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told people what I got to see, and it was a steaming pile of shit.
Speaking of a steaming pile of shit, Sat Pot Pack! Steven here.
Did he drop?
I think I heard his girlfriend come by.
It sounded like she asked, are you ready to think? Which is like, has he not been doing that this whole time?
Is he gone? Did he drop from the call?
Isn't Steven just constantly in the philosopher's pose?
I imagine.
Just elbow on knee, head on chin.
He's like pulling at his beard.
Yeah, just thinking about the ethics behind Arkham Knight.
Well, how can we do Sat Pot Pack without the S in the Sat?
Did you like E3, Darren?
I thought it was good.
From an observer's standpoint?
Yeah, I mean, people talk about how this press conference was bad and this one was good. I thought they were all fine.
Did you watch EA's and Ubisoft's?
I did. Okay, yeah, I mean, there were parts, like the Pele section in the chat room.
Oh, what about the Hoop God?
I don't think I saw Hoop. Oh, no, yeah, I do remember Hoop God. That was bad. I think I was writing while that was going on, though, so I was not really paying too much attention.
And Nintendo's was kind of dog shit.
But, no, it was okay, so there are bad things you could pick out from all of them, but there were good things. Like, EA had Mirror's Edge Catalyst, right?
Yeah, if you, like, concentrate them down to bullet points, you're like, yeah. EA showed new Mass Effect, new Mirror's Edge, Battlefront.
Yeah, like, those look rad.
Yeah, it's a good press conference. And but if you sat through it, Brett Mackinonsky is on the couch, passed out by the end of it. And he's like, how long have I been out, guys? I'm like, 20 minutes. He's like, no, I wasn't.
I mean, if you guys were just doing the Airbnb and working on your laptops, I mean, that's not much different than the experience I was having.
No.
And because I was just sitting at home working on my computer.
Except Stephen was like throwing eggs at us, and Kenny was yelling. And
oh, was he doing like the Teppon thing where he would throw an egg and try and catch it in your mouth?
No, he just kind of put a plate in front of us, and we'd scarf down an egg.
That's not as good.
You know,
I embellished a little bit.
He said he made 2 eggs for each of you. That's like 4 too few eggs for me.
It's kind of nice, kind of during E3 though, when you're not expecting to get any food. And someone just hands you some cooked eggs, and you're like, oh, wow, that's nice.
So Dale was in our room working with us, and he had bought some smoked Gouda and some...
Oh, my God.
He was in the corner just chowing down the whole time.
But he lent it to us to put onto our eggs, and so Steven was cooking with those and onions and whatnot by the end. It was a pretty delicious time. Yeah, Dale was trying to do actual Venture Beat work in the corner, where he has to write like 10 paragraphs on every post, and he looked like he was having a bad time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think my favorite E3 thing was Nintendo, because they basically made it real easy for me to stop collecting Amiibo.
Yeah, because they just announced like 8 different lines.
Yeah, exactly. And it was just like, you know what, I think after Smash I'm definitely out, because I'm not going to start collecting fucking Skylanders also.
Well, you've been saying that for a while, that the Smash line was where you drew it.
So, I've been saying that, but there is a small kind of part of my brain that's like, oh no, what if I'm just lying to myself?
Well, there are some really friggin' cute amiibo, like the Yoshi's Woolly World amiibo.
Mm-hmm.
Those are... I'm probably going to have to get some of those.
I really like the Toto KK amiibo.
Yeah, I was going to say,
the Tom Nook looks neat.
Those look really cute.
Yeah, like, Animal Crossing means nothing to me. I don't need to collect 16 fucking Animal Crossing amiibo. Pay $200 for that, you know?
I don't care about Animal Crossing either. I just think KK Slider is a cool character.
So, what do we do now? Steven's gone. He was going to help us wrap up the show.
Don't make me come up with questions.
Hi, guys. I'm back.
Hey,
I was getting yelled at.
Good times.
Yeah. I don't, you gotta give me a second for questions, though.
Okay.
I gave you a half hour before the show started.
Do you remember Zach getting his haircut?
Oh, yeah, that was a thing that happened. Last night of E3, Zach, Steven, and our friend Hayden sort of shaved a Metroid into the back of Zach's head because, technically, a new Metroid game got announced.
So yeah, prior to E3, Zach made a bet with the community, I guess, that if a new Metroid was announced, he'd shave a Metroid in the back of his head.
It was less of a bet and more of a promise, because the community had nothing at stake.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure enough, Nintendo got up and announced that abortion of a Metroid game, and Zach had to get a Metroid shaved in the back of his head, and then he
some people
went
don't
to
think
the
hotel. It's so bad, the Metroid game.
Yeah, I don't. I didn't actually pay attention to it.
I played a bit of it.
That there's a petition for its removal from existence. So
I don't think it's so. They didn't even have the full game there. They had this like blast ball part of it, because it's actually Metroid Prime Federation Force is the full game.
Mm-hmm.
But what I played is basically soccer, except instead of kicking the ball, it's team based, and you climb into a mech and you kind of shoot the soccer ball with your power cannon.
And you can do a charge shot. And it looks a lot like Video Ball, but first person shooter controlled instead of overhead.
And but, I mean, Video Ball is super great, but
yeah, Video Ball's
fun. You know what people don't want instead when they're thinking of Video Ball, or you know when they want a Metroid game, they don't want Video Ball.
Yeah, well, so that's the funny thing, though, is like they showed it at the Nintendo World Championship as just Blast Ball, and people were like, oh, hey, new Nintendo IP, this looks pretty cool, yeah, this looks fun. And then they're like, oh, yeah, Metroid Prime Blast Ball, and then just if there were a line graph of it, it would be, like, vertical, just the popularity of it just dropped.
It's like excitement, well, 6 out of 10, and then just like...
Hold on, yeah. I want to call Darren out on something. Line graphs cannot go vertical because then they're undefined. You should know that, Mr. Scientist.
I was doing some hyperbole. I said, you know, like vertical. I do agree. Yes, you're right. It can't be exactly vertical.
I'm a better scientist than Darren.
Yeah.
So when I was playing that, I was standing at that count. Like, Nintendo had like a VIP area where they have like stations set up for every game. So there's Star Fox.
What were you doing in the VIP area?
Yeah, no big deal. Just hang out in the VIP area. Whatever.
Chad got me in. It's fine. it's like this guy's with me. So we're in there, and so there's Star Fox and Mario Maker, and then over in the corner there's Blast Ball. So I'm like trying to play Blast Ball because nobody else cares about it and there's no line. So there's this Nintendo rep and she's sitting sad over there. She's like, well, let's try to get someone to play over there. And she like starts motioning over at these people and none of them seem interested. So she's like, okay, we can just set it up with bots. And then the bots beat us in about 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. The new Zelda seems okay though, except that I played it with like a French person and someone from Chile. So none of us could communicate. Like, well, I could understand every third word the French person said. She was like, lancer! And I was like, oh, she wants me to throw a bomb, I think.
There are little emotes in the game, though, that you could use, right?
Yeah, but we weren't using those.
Oh, well, yeah, that would just be dumb. Why would you do that?
Do you know what my highlight of E3 was? When Star Fox got announced, and we wanted to get a preview up for it as soon as possible, because that's just kind of the smart thing to do. I went to the Nintendo booth as soon as the E3 show floor opened, and I went straight to Nintendo, and there was already a line at every station, like 15 people long. And it's like a 10-minute demo. I was probably going to stand in line for 2.5 hours. I managed to cut all 14 people and get in line right behind the person who was playing.
How did that happen?
I don't really know. I just kind of worked my magic, and I was wearing a tie and like dress shoes and all that stuff. So maybe nobody questioned it and just thought I was supposed to be there.
You had dress shoes? You didn't have, like, your beat-up Converse?
No, I was wearing dress shoes that day. And either people were very upset but too timid to say anything, and they were just staring daggers into the back of my head, or they just assumed I was supposed to be there. But I basically saved 2 hours of my life doing that, and I was pretty fucking happy about it.
That happened to me at the XSEED booth. They literally took the controller out of someone's hand and put it into mine.
Like, if that happened at PAX, I would feel bad. I wouldn't do that at PAX. But E3, that's a free-for-all. That's most important week of the year. It's time to get your work done. That's cutthroat.
And you seem to like that gamepad support.
I liked the idea of that gamepad support. It's there's a learning curve to it.
Yeah, I felt like it was difficult to control.
It sounds hard to me.
So I got the hang of it a couple times, but then the next couple times I would try to use it, I fucked it up. And I could tell that when I got it right, if I could consistently get it right, it would be really pretty cool. But 10 minutes with the game wasn't really long enough for me to to grasp that learning curve. That's actually a pretty perfect example of like a preview setting like we were talking about just a minute ago.
It's like we meant to do that.
Like I can tell that I think that would be good in just kind of a home setting. I'm not sure, so I'll give it the benefit of the doubt. But
there were a lot of games I played for about 10 minutes, and I kind of wrestled with the controls the whole time. Rodeo was like that. Like, they were like, well, we got an hour-long appointment, and the guy in front of you took up 15 minutes of that, so we're going to try to run you through these three games really quick. So you, like, kind of get pseudo-comfortable with them, and it's on to the next game.
Steven should hurry up and come back, because my room is real hot, and I kind of want to get out of it.
Yeah, I'm getting real hot, too. I'm almost ready. We had this conversation earlier while Darren was not here, but it's like 60 degrees, and I'm baking. I don't know what the deal is, man.
Like, Shut up.
It's not even that hot here.
62.
I think living without air conditioning, like maybe the house has some sort of greenhouse effect going on. I don't live in a greenhouse, but that's my only...
Maybe it has some kind of butterfly effect going on, starring Sir Ashton Kutcher.
Is he a sir?
No. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know.
I was like, who the fuck would knight Ashton Kutcher, and for what? I'm going to look it up on Wikipedia.
Darren makes me so happy.
What? What?
You're just riding that pony.
I don't even... What?
Darren, are you streaming to Chatterbait right now?
No, I am not.
Chatterbait?
Chatterbait?
What's Chatterbait?
Chatterbait is where you go to watch people webcam naked, ride ponies or something.
No, his Skype avatar, he is riding a pony.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't see that.
Okay, guys.
Yeah, nobody has knighted Ashton Kutcher yet.
I don't think it's even possible. He's American, right? Like... Can Americans be knighted?
He can be indestructible.
Dude, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the fucking president of California, and we we elected a Kenyan as president of the United States. So
I feel like the monarchy could make an exception for Sir Ashton fucking Kutcher.
You know, when Jurassic 5 was like doing that one rap, and they're like, but every queen's gotta have a king with her. And, like, that's not true, man. How long has the fucking British queen lady been alive in your lifetime? All of it, because she's fucking old, and you're, like, you know, at that point, probably, like, 28, maybe in your 30s. So, no, like, that's fucking empirically false. There's a fucking stupid queen lady with her stupid-ass fucking family getting money for nothing, and no king whatsoever.
It's further proof that I know nothing about the Jurassic Park movies.
No, what? No, Jurassic 5, the band... the fucking group, man.
Wink.
You fucking not heard Jurassic 5?
Wink.
I think it was a joke.
Oh, man. You got me. You got me. Oh, ugh. Shot.
Just give me my point now. It
right
counts.
In the heart. Right in the heart. That was the response. I didn't expect it, but I wouldn't have been surprised by that response from... I have a weird man, like... Ah, oh, man, we'll talk about this later. Anyway.
Did you just have a stroke? What just happened?
I mean, Elizabeth II has a husband, but he's not the king.
What? So... Who is the last king of England? Wait, wasn't that a movie? No, last king of Scotland. But that was in Africa, and it was about drugs.
I don't know.
What?
Oh, dear.
I've just been informed from the producer's desk that Americans may be knighted, but they cannot use the title sir.
Don't act like we have a producer.
Yeah, Last King of Scotland. Forrest Whitaker's in it. He was also Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. Anyways, I feel like we should round out this lovely, lovely week with another episode of Sad Pot Pack. Steven asked the people on the podcast the question.
I like how you just took that, like, yo, you just made the decision split second to do a Sad Pot Pack. I feel like that's how we should round that out this week. And not like we've been waiting
I'll edit it
for
out.
A half hour.
I'll edit it out to make it seem seamless.
So,
like Star Wars.
If we want to recap, because it's been a while, Sat Pop Pack is the show where I ask the people on the podcast a question, and then they get points, which accumulate every week until we all die, or until I die anyways, and then the winner will get a prize.
Who do you think will die first amongst us four?
Amongst us four?
Brett.
I'm the oldest, right? Or I don't know. How old are you, Steven?
Who do you think will die first, Steven?
I think Brett would die in a bar fight.
I get into those sometimes, so
you're gonna get glassed one day. That's the problem.
I've thought about glassing other people. All right, we don't need to go there.
Anyways, so just to remind everybody, Kyle is in the lead with 4 points. Wow, good job, Kyle. Laura is not second, even though she's second on the list I have with 1 point. Brett, who is third on the list, is actually second with 2 points. And Darren, who is fourth on the list, is actually tied for third with 1 point. But you could also kind of consider that being fourth place, right? I don't know. How do ties work?
I think in that case it would be Kyle 1, Brett 2, Laura and Darren tied for fourth.
I'm pretty sure that I read a t-shirt once that said, if you're not first, you're last.
You can read.
Not well.
Kyle.
Yes.
This is your question for this week. How many weeks do I have left for my broken finger to heal, according to the doctor?
3.
So close. 4. 4 weeks. It's been 2 weeks from 2 weeks ago, at which point it was 6 weeks. So we're at 4 weeks. So close.
If it heals in 3 points, does Kyle, or in 3 weeks, does Kyle get his point and or become a doctor?
He gets his doctorate, honorary. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Brett.
Hi.
What is the best Ashton Kutcher movie? I'm sorry, Ashton Kutcher film.
What's the difference between a movie and a film?
Whoa, come on. If you have to ask, you'll never know.
I don't know that many movies, so I'm going to say The Butterfly Effect.
Wrong. They're all fucking awful. He's a terrible person. Who keeps giving him work? What the fuck?
Yeah, I was going to say The Butterfly Effect, too.
That's the only one I could name. So.
I remember legitimately enjoying The Butterfly Effect in high school.
Please go watch that movie again and hopefully you'll see why that's so funny.
I'm gonna say Made in Manhattan. Wait, that was Jennifer Lopez.
God, that should put you so bad.
Anyways. I mean, does he even still get work though? I can't.
He was like a Steve Jobs in a documentary like last year.
Oh yeah, I saw that. That was not so great.
All right, Darren, your question this week. The agave plant is known for producing 2 drinks from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
One of them is the more popular tequila, but tequila is made from a specific agave plant, a specific color. Which color?
Yeah. Is it blue?
It is.
Oh, yeah. I think that's the second time you've asked me about tequila. Those are the only ones I've gotten right so far.
You're right, that is. Ah, that's great. I was going to flip it on you and go the mezcal route, but...
I wouldn't be able to tell you what color mezcal. I would be able to tell you it's tequila and mezcal, though.
Well, mezcal is all agave. And tequila is the one that is specific to the blue agave.
So it's like a rectangle square thing? Like some of it's one and not the other?
Some rectangles are... Or all rectangles are squares, but all squares are rectangles.
I've heard that mezcal is like high octane tequila. Is that true?
What does octane mean?
What's the tequila with the worm in the bottom?
That is not a thing. Well, it's kind of a thing. That's Mescal, but like that's not an actual thing that is a thing until like white people thought it was a thing and then they started putting stuff in there to sell it to white people.
Fucking white people.
You're white, Steven. Did you buy the worm tequila?
No.
Good podcast, guys.
All right.